Now we'll read from John 20, 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." And now I welcome the drama team.
I wonder if he knew who he was getting when he asked me to follow him. I didn't try to pretend that I was someone that I wasn't. I was a good fisherman, but never claimed to be anything more than that. My brother Andrew had become a disciple of John the Baptist. And now I respect Andrew, but have always been a bit more grounded and practical than he is. When Andrew told me he had found the Messiah, I admit I was curious, but I didn't buy it hook, line, and sinker. I agreed to go with Andrew and meet this Jesus of Nazareth. Before Andrew introduced me, Jesus greeted me.
"You are Simon, son of John. I am going to call you Peter."
Well, he actually used the name Cephas. But if you were to translate that into your language, it would mean rocky. I wasn't quite sure what Jesus meant by renaming me, but I went along with it. Later, I invited him to my home. He stole the show immediately when he healed my mother-in-law of a fever. My family and I enjoyed hearing him speak, but didn't dream he would soon be changing our lives. A few days later, it was my turn to repay Jesus this favor. I was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, washing my fishing nets after a rough day at work. I was tired, grumpy, and almost ready to return home and tell my family we hadn't caught a thing. Jesus showed up with the masses who had come to hear him teach. The crowds began pressing in all around Jesus, but he stepped into my boat and asked me to bring him out, away from the shore. I wasn't feeling very eager to help him out, but I said, "Okay." You've probably heard the rest of the story from there. Many have. When he was done teaching, I thought the time had come to pack up and head home at last, but no.
"Peter, I want you to put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch."
He could see I was tired, I was angry, and I wondered if he intended to make a fool out of me there too. At the very least, it seemed like a waste of time and energy. Any good fisherman knows that the fish in the Sea of Galilee only come out at night. Before I became a rabbi, Jesus was a carpenter by trade. What do carpenters know about fishing? But something about him challenged me to push past all of my emotional ugliness in that moment. I knew in my heart I needed to simply trust him and obey. And wow, I got a miracle in return. Fish had remained hidden the night before, suddenly jumped into my nets in such vast quantities that the nets couldn't hold them. My nets were ripping, so I got the attention of my partners, John and James. Even with their assistance, we caught so many fish, our boat started to sink. I knew then, without a doubt, that there was something divine about this Jesus. He was too pure and too good to have me in his company, and I told him so.
Get away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.
He didn't argue with me, but he didn't leave me either.
Don't be afraid.
I have to admit, that was reassuring.
From now on, instead of catching fish, you will catch men.
The journey from fisher man to fisher of men hasn't been a smooth one. Maybe that's where the rocky name comes in. As much as I've loved and looked up to Jesus, he's remained a bit of an enigma to me. Times that I think that I'm saying or doing the right thing, I often end up looking like a child. I've suffered through many a public rebuke. It never gets any easier. I will say that I feel bewildered and honored to have been invited to Jesus' inner circle. Sometimes he will leave the others behind and go a little further just with James, John, and me. Once, he led the three of us up to the top of a mountain. It was a very mystical experience. Before our very eyes, he turned white. His face shined up like the sun, and his clothes were as white, and they were blinding. Moses and Elijah themselves suddenly appeared and began talking with him. And what did I have to say about it?
Lord, if it's okay with you, why don't I make three shelters while we wait? One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you.
Always the pragmatist. About then is when the voice of the Lord came out from the cloud and scared James, John, and me so badly we fell on our face in fear. Jesus pulled us up and said,
"Don't be afraid."
And everything looked normal again. It's only been since I've reflected on that experience that I realize how ridiculous I must have sounded. Another time, Jesus sent us all out in a boat while he went up on a mountain to pray alone. Late at night, he miraculously walked out to us on the surface of the water. Needless to say, we'd never seen anything like that before, and we were so thrown, we wondered if at first we saw a ghost.
Don't be afraid, it's me.
Lord, if it's really you, tell me to walk out to you on the water too.
Come.
It's really strange to defy the laws of nature. I can barely remember how it felt to step out of that boat and onto the surface of the sea. I know I should keep concentrating on Jesus, but my fear began welling up in me. I didn't last more than a few steps before I sank right in and then tried desperately to keep afloat as the waves tossed me around.
Lord, save me.
Jesus did rescue me. I still half expected like a tip of the hat from the others for my bravery. Did I get it? Nope.
You have little faith. Why did you doubt?
I had no good answer for him. Even times I thought I was acting on his best interest, they backfired on me. When he first told us of his journey to Jerusalem and his inevitable death, I thought maybe he was just being morose. I took him away from the others and tried to snap him out of it.
Never! Lord, this shall never happen to you.
His reply was like a verbal slap in the face. He didn't even pause to consider my words or the alternative that they offered.
Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the things in mind of God, but the things of men.
Okay, I was not expecting that one. It took me a while to bounce back afterwards. And then there was the night he was arrested. He asked John and I to go and prepare the Passover meal together. When he and the rest of the disciples arrived, we began to eat. He shocked us by getting up from his food, wrapping a towel around his waist, and pouring water into a basin. He then approached to wash our feet.
Lord, are you going to lower yourself to washing my feet?
You don't fully understand what's going on here, but it will make sense to you down the road. Trust me, Peter.
No, Jesus. How could I ever let you wash my feet? They are stinky and dirty, and not something I'd ask you to touch even if they were already cleaned. I esteem you as my rabbi. How can I permit you to disgrace yourself in this way?
Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.
I was a little tired of always getting things wrong, so I thought I'd show I could change my tune and accept what Jesus was trying to teach me.
Don't wash just my feet, then. Wash my head and my hands as well.
Peter, a person who is already bathed needs only to wash his feet. The rest of him is clean.
And so my Lord washed my feet. The evening became very somber, very fast. Jesus predicted that one of us would betray him. Judas left our gathering. After the meal, Jesus led us out to the Mount of Olives and warned us of what lay ahead.
Tonight you will all leave me and fulfill the prophecy. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But I will rise again and go ahead of you into Galilee.
Lord, you say we will all desert you? No. How could I leave you? Even if I were the only one left, I wouldn't abandon you. Even if the Roman soldiers took us captive, I wouldn't leave your side.
Oh, Simon, mark my words. Before you hear the rooster crow to greet the rising sun, you will deny 3 times that you even knew me.
Surely not, Jesus. Even if I have to die with you, I will not leave you.
The rest of the disciples agreed heartily with me, but when the hour came, we scattered like frightened children. Well, I guess I did try to make a stand first. Once again, it was not the response Jesus was looking for. When the mob arrested him, I drew out my sword and I struck the man nearest to me. I cut off his ear, and that gave the group a moment of pause. If the other disciples had rallied around me, maybe we could have prevented them taking away Jesus. But he wasn't on board with that plan.
Peter, put away your sword. I must drink the cup the Father has set before me. Don't you know if I asked right now, the Father would put 12 legions of angels at my command? But instead, it must happen this way to fulfill Scripture. Now, no more of this.
That was the last thing Jesus said to me before he was executed. How fitting. It was another word of correction. He stooped down and took into his hand the ear that he had cut off. Then he put it under the wound of the man's head. In a moment, the man was healed. Jesus was led away. I wish I could tell you that Jesus' prophecy about my denial never came true, but that would be a lie. Fear does strange things to a person. I thought I was ready to face anything, but my strength failed me. I was beside myself when I heard the news that Jesus had been sentenced to crucifixion. God incarnate was suffering humiliation and torture at the hands of his creation. How did any of this make sense? Had I been mistaken about who Jesus was? Was my life as a disciple simply a fool's dream? No. I can tell you for certain now because we know he has risen. Indeed, on the first day of the week, his tomb was empty. Some of the women from our group encountered angels that morning when they went to anoint his body. Mary Magdalene met with the risen Christ himself. That very evening, while most of us gathered together behind locked doors, he appeared to us as well, saying,
"Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
It feels almost too good to be true, but he's appeared various times to various people over the last week. He sort of appears and disappears before we can really make sense out of the situation, but he's as real as the sun in the sky. I have to admit, I'm a bit sheepish about the idea of speaking with him directly. I feel I have so many apologies to make. Where would I even begin? Even now, I'm still confused and trying to sort out all the things he has said to me over the years.
Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
I left behind my life as a fisherman, but sometimes I need the familiarity to ground me. Last night, our group met together, and I couldn't take the guilt welling up inside of me. I told the others,
"I'm going out to fish."
A handful of others, including my old fishing partners, James and John, said they'd like to come with me. Just like the night so long ago, no fish were biting in the Sea of Galilee. So here we are, empty-handed in the morning, no more clarity than when we began, and ready to pack it in and head home.
Maybe we've lost our touch. We aren't the fishermen we used to be. Are we, Simon?
He did tell us that he'd make us fishers of men, but he never promised that we'd still be good at catching fish.
I think when he appears to us again, you should talk with him.
Really? Why? So I can get a good verbal lashing again at everyone else's enjoyment?
You know it's not like that. He sees you as a leader. He's been trying to help mold you and prepare you for leading. You say the things the rest of us are too afraid to say. When Jesus corrects you, he corrects us all.
I don't know. I think I tend to stick at least 1 foot in my mouth every chance I get.
You've said some really insightful things, though. Don't forget that.
Really? Like what?
Remember when a bunch of disciples left after he talked about being the bread of life?
You don't want to leave too, do you?
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.
Or when he asked us directly who he thought he was?
Who do people say the Son of Man is?
Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.
But what about you? Who do you say I am?
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven.
Thank you, John. I think I needed that reminder. Maybe I will speak with Jesus again. He has to know that I've never meant to leave him.
Wait! What is that figure over there on the shore? Simon, who would be out this early in the morning?
Friends, did you catch any fish?
No, not a one.
Throw your nets over the right side of the boat, and then you'll find some.
Wait, is this? Could it be?
Simon, there are so many fish in this net that we can't manage to haul it in.
This has happened before to us.
Simon, it is the Lord.
John, I'm ready. I may not walk on the water, but I'm jumping out of this boat. I need to get to him as quickly as I can.
I jumped overboard then and made my way to him, giving myself a pep talk while I splashed onto the shore. Jesus had made a fire and was cooking fish and bread on it. And when he saw me, he said,
"Bring some of the fish you have just caught."
Not yet having a chance to tell him I was sorry, I rushed right back to the boat to show him I was eager to do whatever he asked. John and the others were coming into shore, and I climbed aboard and helped them drag our net in. We caught 153 large fish with that net, and it didn't even tear. A miracle.
Come, everyone, and have breakfast.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And my time came when we were finished eating.
Simon, son of John, do you really love me more than you love your brothers here?
You are not one of that man's disciples, are you? Hey, this man was with him.
I am not his disciple. Woman, I don't even know this man.
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Feed my lambs. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?
Hey, you! I know you. I saw you with the Christ. You're one of his disciples, aren't you?
Sir, I am not.
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Take care of my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove? Hey, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.
Man, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I'm sorry for all the times that I've fallen short, but I love you, Jesus. Tell me, what is it that you want of me?
Feed my sheep. Truly, I tell you, in your younger years, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But a time will come when you will stretch out your hands. Someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. I tell you, Peter, follow me.
What about him? Will he be led to his death as well?
Simon, if I want John to remain alive, how does that make any difference to you? You must follow me on your own path. I called you beside the Sea of Galilee to be my disciple. You accepted the call and have come a long way. Don't deny your call because you have stumbled. I never left you, Peter. And surely I will remain with you always. Follow me.
Lord, where are you going?
Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later.
Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you.
Yes, Jesus, I will follow you.